On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson drops by to discuss girls' basketball sectionals, our all SAC selections, and we'll talk about her thoughts ahead of Sunday's big game. I'll close with notes on the NFL, the Comets, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette is here to get us started as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's all hoops right now in local high school sports. Sectionals for the girls' side are underway. What's been going on?
All right. So I personally opened up this year's state tournament over at the Class 2A Woodland sectional, which is by winning percentage the most competitive sectional in our area. So I got to see Class 2A number one Witco open up with a 56-37 win over Woodland. Woodland was the ACAC regular season tourney champ. So the Wildcats opened up massive lead. I think it was 18-4 at the end of the first quarter. Things got a little bit hairy there in the middle. Woodland was able to close it to 4-point deficit in the third quarter, and then Witco kind of ran away with it in the fourth. But it's kind of an interesting thing for our number one Wildcats because it's not going to be smooth sailing even from here on out. They still have to face Bluffton, the ACAC tournament champion, on Friday in the semifinals. So I believe Bluffton is ranked number 10 in Class 2A. So it's still not going to be an easy assignment. Bluffton is 18-5. At this point. And then Adams Central, currently 11-10, or Bishop Lures, which won its opener, is kind of waiting in the other half of that bracket. So things definitely not settled in that sectional. The other two that I want to talk about, where I'll be spending my Friday, is over at the Carroll sectional. Only four teams, maybe not the most competitive in terms of winning percentages this season, but we should have a really, really good rematch on Friday night. Snyder, which finished second in the SAC, got off to a little bit of a slow start, but finishes the regular season 16-6. We'll be opening up the postseason against Northrop. Northrop, 11-10, pushed Homestead to triple overtime last Friday. So they've got a little bit of fight in those Bruins, too. Those two teams are going to meet in a rematch on Friday night in the semifinal. The Panthers won that one 49-48 on January 9th. So we're hoping that it's going to be as exciting this time around. One more game that I kind of want to mention is the Southside sectional final. Not to get a little too far ahead of ourselves, but we are kind of, you know, maybe anticipating a rematch in the sectional finals. On one side of the bracket, we have Homestead, number two team in the state, according to the IBCA poll. On the opposite side of the bracket, number six, Norwell, defending Class 3A state champions that got moved up because of success factor. Assuming those two teams take care of business in their semifinals on Friday, we'll see each other again in the sectional final on Saturday night. You might remember back in November, Norwell beat Homestead at the time. Both teams came into the season with high expectations. Homestead especially came into the season with high expectations in 4A, but Norwell got that win 59-46. Not everybody was healthy back then, but it should be really interesting to see what happens this time around when this one's for all the marbles.
So as sectionals in the girls tournament continues, who are some players that we're watching?
We don't want to get overconfident about any of our teams because, hey, everybody is just one loss away from having their season ended, maybe a little bit earlier than they were expecting. But someone who has impressed me every time I've gotten the opportunity to see her this season is Warsaw senior Jocelyn Bricker. You know, even though our area is really blessed this year, we have a number of players who are genuine Miss Basketball contenders. I can think of five players right off the top of my head who I kind of expect to be Indiana Senior All-Stars. Jocelyn Bricker has been remarkable even in that group. She is averaging 24.9 points, 6.7 rebounds, 4.6 assists, and 2.5 steals. And this is considering the fact that she has another teammate, Brooke Zartman, who is also averaging in the 20 points a game zone. So it's not like she's getting every single shot. It's not like she has the ball in her hands absolutely every possession. She is shooting an astonishing 53% from three-point range over the regular season. That's not like over a game. That's not over three games or even a month. The entire season. She is a Butler commit and if you haven't gotten the chance, I think it's time to go out and take in, you know, some of what she's doing along with her Tiger teammates.
All SAC honors were also revealed earlier this week. Who came out as some of our local highlights?
All right. So no surprise, Homestead is undefeated in SAC play for the second year in a row. And this year they had four seniors named to the all-conference first team. You know their names, Maya Epps, Gabby Helsom, Whitney Ankenbrook, and Carly Mullering. And then their fifth starter, Delaney Knoll, their young gun, their sophomore, she was named to second team. Basically, if you were on that Homestead starting lineup, you got all conference honors. And I don't think there's any way to argue with that, seeing how completely dominant they were over the course of this season. Snyder also had two first team honorees in Mackenzie White and Janiya Cooper. And then that Northrop team that I mentioned earlier that gave Homestead a run for its money has two seniors on that first team, Caleb Williams-Thomas and Swin Jackson. Just rounding it out here, Concordia's Olivia Bollinger. She is committed to PFW. She was on that first team. We had Southside's Britannia Dietrich Williams, Devania Irons of Wayne, Lily George of Carroll, and then Harvest Green of Bishop Lohr's. Harvest Green, just a freshman, was Bishop Lohr's leading scorer in the Woodland sectional opener for the Knights, going on to the second round there. So I just wanted to point out Concordia's Bollinger, as well as Epps, Hulsome, Williams-Thomas, Jackson, Cooper, Ankenbrook, and Irons. Each of them were named to the first team last season. So this year was really, we got to see a lot of the same players who have been contributors for years kind of grow, blossom. And then Lily George of Carroll, kind of a little bit of a bounce back year for her. She had some injuries last year. She was also a first teamer back in 2023-24 during her sophomore season. So good to see her back.
The NFL's big game in Santa Clara is taking place this weekend, and you are the New England Patriots fan in this conversation. It'd be a little bit more fun if the Packers were your opponent. How are you feeling heading into the game?
Well, as is usual, I don't know how many of you know this about me, I typically work to putting together the section. So I am the person reading all of your Wire articles, the one telling the design desk, you know, which stories we want on which pages. So that is my job most Sundays. And for the past couple years, it has been my job on most Super Bowl Sundays. So honestly, it's a work day for me. And I often do work Super Bowls and occasionally other championships, whether it's college basketball, if the World Series happens to conclude on my night, you know, stuff like that. So it's not completely unusual. And it also means that I don't get to watch as much NFL as I used to, because my people don't know the layout of my office at the Journal Gazette, but my back is to the TV. So I don't usually get to watch a whole lot of NFL on Sundays, which is a bummer. However, Super Bowl Sunday, we do try to get as much of the paper ready to go as possible and then throw the stories from the Wire in once we get them. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it because typically I get to watch more on Super Bowl Sunday than any other day of the year. As a Patriots fan, this season has been a wonderful surprise. I was like, I'm not going to make y'all nervous because I am just trying to not take any of it for granted and enjoy. I kind of see all of this as icing. So yeah, hoping for the best. Either way, I'm going to be the ones proofing the AP articles as they go in. So going to have to deal with it one way or another.
I do not have a horse in this race, so I'm just hoping that everyone has a good time. Victoria Jacobson with her eyes on high school basketball and all local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hoosiers from across the state competed last weekend in the annual Braille Challenge. WFYI's Jeremy Rubin has more.
Indiana's Regional Braille Challenge is a multi-event competition for blind or visually impaired students. Events include spelling, reading comprehension, reading charts and graphs, proofreading, and speed and accuracy. Jasmine Nelson is a senior at the Indiana School for the Blind and Visually Impaired and has been competing for years. She says the best part is connecting with people in the blind community.
It's really important for people with disabilities to be able to have that aspect of a community, especially ones who may go to a public school or live in a rural area, and they may not have ever met somebody who is like them before.
Results from the competition will be announced later this week. The top performers will advance to the national competition in California. I'm Jeremy Rubin.
The NFL's big game will be Sunday at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara between the Patriots and the Seahawks. It's a rematch of the 2015 Super Bowl, and I'm a little less frustrated by the matchup this time around. There's no more Bill Belichick to spoil the proceedings on one side, and the Seahawks did not advance thanks to a crushing choke job by my Packers. Both franchises look very different, with new coaches, quarterbacks, and approaches, so it should be a really exciting contest. Kickoff is slated for 6:30, but you know how that goes. The Comets are red hot. They've won 5 out of their last 6, still 4 points out of first place in the Central, but hey, winning games will always keep you in the conversation. We're getting close to the home stretch of the ECHL season. They're home all weekend, hosting Iowa on Friday and Toledo on Saturday, with a 7:30 puck drop each night. Then it's a matinee at the Coliseum Sunday, where they'll welcome Bloomington for a 2 o'clock face-off. The Pacers continue to sit at the bottom of the Eastern Conference with a 13-38 record. They did pick up wins against the Bulls and the Hawks over the weekend, but dropped their last 2 to the Rockets and Jazz. They've got a long road trip leading up to the All-Star break next weekend. Congrats to Pacers standout Pascal Siakam for being named to his 4th NBA All-Star game. The Pacers are headed to Toronto, New York, and Brooklyn before the layoff. But before any of that, they're in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks Friday, and the question that's on everyone's mind is whether or not Giannis will still be there. The NBA trade deadline is later today at 3, and we've already seen a lot of movement, with James Harden headed to Cleveland in exchange for Darius Garland to the Clippers, Jaren Jackson Jr. was sent from the Grizzlies to the Jazz, and Anthony Davis is headed to DC to suit up for the Wizards. As of this recording on Wednesday night, Giannis and Ja Morant remain the 2 biggest names on the market. If either of them have moved, you probably don't need me to tell you on this show. The NBA and MLB have the best trade deadlines, so this has been a really fun week. Hopefully, we'll get a couple more fun ones in before it passes. And WNBA owners and players are meeting this week to try and come to an agreement in collective bargaining talks. As of this recording, we haven't seen any movement. The WNBA draft is set to take place in April, with the season tipping off in May. Starting to feel like those things might be delayed. Hopefully, we'll have more details for next week's show. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.